This is Rick Wood. I have the pleasure of sitting with Police Chief Les Parsons. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, sir.
I have to tell you, first of all, please stop the surf, okay? Secondly, it is really nice to be in a room with a cop and be the one asking the question. Les, tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to us.
Sure. My education level, I graduated college and then subsequently went to law school up in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
And I practiced law up there for about 11 years. And I served as a defense attorney, don't hate me, but I was a defense attorney.
No, I come from the side of the track where we needed a defense attorney.
I was a prosecutor, and I was the attorney for the what we call the Special Investigations Division of the Tacoma Police Department,
okay.
Which dealt with drugs, vice, and gangs.
Okay.
After that, I moved back to Southern California, where I was originally from,
mm-hmm.
and became a police, went through a police academy there and became a police officer in a small agency in Orange County, California. We bordered LA County. And when I was able to retire from there, I wanted to move east because I'm a history and to be kind of in the heart of everything historical here in the United States was a big draw for me. My oldest boy had been, when I moved over here, he was a rat at VMI.
Okay.
He subsequently graduated from there and is working at Dahlgren as an engineer and a chemist. And when I came over, the chief of police at that time, I knew from one of my friends that I'd worked with, well, we played rugby together on the West Coast.
Okay.
And he's from Northern Virginia. And he introduced me to his sister over the computer. And we ended up talking, and I applied for a position out here. And once I retired from Orange County Agency, I came straight across the country and came here to Colonial Beach.
Do me a favor, Les.
Sure.
Tell me, how does one go from prosecutor
sure.
to being a police officer?
It all ties together because I think to be a police officer, you really have to understand the law. And I think that because it changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be mindful of staying abreast of what the newest, you know, where the law is going and the changes that are happening. I think the difference and probably the exciting part of being a police officer versus being an attorney is that you have to make split-second decisions. And I remember going from my first couple days on as the legal advisor to the Tacoma Police,
mm-hmm.
I was asked about, hey, can we do this? And in typical lawyer fashion, I went, well, on one hand, you can mm-hmm. do this, and on the other hand, and I remember the sergeant telling me, no, can I do this? And so I learned right then and there that police work requires, you don't have the time to deliberate, argue about, go back and forth, you know, on an issue. You have to be able to make a decision right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly, that was a big change for me, you
mm-hmm.
know, but I enjoyed it more because it was more of a challenge.
So the real focus is just a little more autonomy. You had a background of knowledge that was useful,
yes.
but you were able to implement that real time as opposed to trying to go through the strainer to make sure that you qualify everything.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. When you moved to Colonial Beach, you had just retired as an officer in Orange County. Did I understand it correctly?
Yes, sir.
And we know why you moved here, because you had family here. But why the Colonial Beach Police Force? There are other places you could have worked.
Absolutely. And like I said, my friend's sister was the mm-hmm. chief here.
Right.
And so this was my focal point when I first moved east. And when I got here, I was just taken by how unique the town was and the historical significance of this town. It was so different from where I come from,
right.
where we don't have a lot of history. And here we're surrounded by it. I mean, I remember taking when I first started transporting people to jail here,
mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of odd, but transporting people to jail, I remember calling my friends back on my old department, and I said, just driving to the jail, I go by where Washington was born, mm-hmm. where Robert E. Lee was born, mm-hmm. and that's just on my way to the jail,
right?
You know, and so
that's on his way to the jail too. But hopefully, he got a little inspiration on the way.
Right? I got to come home, yeah. But the but that to me, it was one of the big draws for me here, and it's continued to be that way. In fact, yesterday, after the presentation that we had the other night at the council meeting, my captain and I went out and started looking at some of those the historical houses, and it reinvigorated me as about working here, you know, because mm-hmm. it is such an eclectic and unique area, and the people here, from the time I got here, the people have treated me just unbelievably well, mm-hmm. and so for me to be able to, I don't know that I'll ever be able to pay it back fully, but for me to give back to this town that's given me so much is just a pleasure.
We want to kind of take a look at your future at this point, because you took the job on an interim basis.
Yes, sir.
And is it fair to assume that you'd like to be our full-time police chief?
I'd be honored to serve in that position. Yes.
Tell us why you want to be the full-time police chief.
Because, again, I guess I'll go back to that. This town has given me an awful lot. They've embraced me, coming from a different state and everything, and they've embraced me here. I want to be able to move this department and our mission forward to make a better place, to make it a better department, make it a better community. And we have one of our big goals is to enhance our partnership with the community, and we've been doing that with community engagement programs like our Neighborhood Watch. And, mm-hmm. and if anybody is interested in joining our Neighborhood Watch, which I highly encourage, because we're always looking for feedback on how we can do a better job, how we can serve the town better. Get in touch with us, and we'll just get name, address, and some contact information, and we'll add you to the list and have you come to the next meeting. Like I said, I think that's a vital program for us to start getting. We can't operate in a vacuum, and for the people to be able to have a vehicle to talk, you know, communicate directly with us, tell us what their needs and for public safety are, and then we can address those. So I'm very big on community response, community policing. I actually, when I was at the agency in California, I ran the community policing unit there. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen the value of it. And I know that the programs that we're implementing here, like Neighborhood Watch, like the Police Explorer program.
Tell us about the Police Explorer program.
Thank you. The Police Explorer program is for young people from 14 to 20 years old. It's run through scouting, and it gives the young people a chance to see, to work with us, to see what we do, to learn why we do it. It's not an indoctrination program, mm-hmm. to try to make them a police officer, but the whole point is exploring the profession. And I can tell you from personal experience, because my oldest son was in an Explorer post that I ran back in California, for them to get the leadership skills, personal communication skills, just dealing with people, is invaluable. And I can tell you that, at least in my experience, the ability of a young person to be able to go into, say, like a college interview and be able to say that I've done this. It's not a school program. It's not because I was ordered to because of school. Mm-hmm. It's that I took the time to give back to my community, and again, to learn these leadership skills that'll help propel them forward. And in this competitive academic environment that we're in now, where kids are competing for, you know, for few college spaces and or jobs. I mean, mm-hmm. it translates to employment as well. That for them to be able to have that on their resume or have that in their quiver of skills, mm-hmm. that they can say, hey, I've done this, and I did it not because I was told to, not because I was ordered to, but because I wanted to serve my community. In my experience, that goes a long, long way to help them forward in their careers.
If someone was interested in the program,
yes, sir.
What's the first step for them?
Just contact us. We have there's an application, because again, it's through scouting, and the application process We send to scouting, and that gives the young people insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're covered anytime that they're working with us.
You had mentioned that you want to give back to the community and you want to see it go forward. Give us an idea of those things that you think are the most glaring needs, and what is the roadmap to get to a successful resolution of those?
Well, I think, and I guess I can speak to it at an organizational level, is that one is we need to continue to enhance our community engagement, to enhance our community involvement. And that, like I said earlier, that's been one of my focal points. The other is to develop ourselves as an organization. And by that, I mean that we provide good training and a good working environment to develop the people that are here. We have a phenomenal team of people here that are doing the work of providing public safety to the town of Colonial Beach. But we need to keep developing them for a couple different reasons. One, it makes them a more professional officer. So they'll be able to go out and handle stuff, be confident in what they're doing, and do it properly.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But it also allows us to build from within and to have a succession program. None of us are going to be in this job forever, right? So,
because we're not going to be on this earth forever. <That's>, for no other reason.
Yeah, absolutely. But we have to plan for that. And I think that one of our focal points is going to be providing more and better training to our officers, to our patrol staff, and even the admin staff, in order to keep developing our abilities, again, to serve as a professional organization. And part of that is right now is we're in the middle of our accreditation process, so we're working very diligently in order to achieve that accreditation status. Now, we still have some time to go. It's not on the immediate future or in the immediate future, but we are definitely taking positive steps to achieve that goal.
What does successful accreditation do for us?
Primary thing is it demonstrates or codifies, if you will, the fact that we subscribe to professional standards and that we are doing things that the Commonwealth says this is what a professional organization needs to do. And it also says that our officers are living up to those standards, to those policies that we've put in place in order to show that professionalism or to do what we call best practices as far as law enforcement. So the accreditation, an acknowledgement that we are doing the right thing, that we are following best practices, that we are following our policies. And it does have some monetary benefit because the insurances and stuff are less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's monies that we would not otherwise be availed or be able to access without being accredited. So it is important to us. I know it's important to the town. That's why we're working so hard to try to get to that point where we gain our accreditation back. So we did have it previously.
When you mention community policing, as a layperson, that says to me at some point that also means cops on the beat sometimes. Is that community policing? In other words, people actually walking particular sections of town.
And I can't say, given our current staffing levels, to have a dedicated foot patrol beat area it would be very challenging. If we're out walking the boardwalk, say, and we get a hot call, we have to get back to our car and then be able to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
To respond to the call. That doesn't mean we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. It just means that sometimes it makes it a little more challenging. We've been tasking our officers with setting aside some time, as long as there's no pending calls or whatever, to go out and do foot patrol, especially in our downtown business area,
mm-hmm.
in the boardwalk area, and that's been going on too. And we need to expand that into the neighborhoods as well. And that's one of the things that we are working on. Some of our officers it's actually been great that they've been taking upon themselves to do community engagement just on their own, not any mm-hmm. direction from me. I'm not going to take credit for it. They've done great. And in some of our areas that are, well like at Riverwood, we've had one of our officers goes there regularly and hands out candy to kids and actually in the parents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to know the community.
Right.
And to have them, I guess, more importantly, for them to get to know us, that we are just people and that we're here to help.
Right. What are some of the challenges of running a small police force?
This position that I've been fortunate to be put in mm-hmm. is something I've wanted to do for a while. So you're never going to hear me complain about having
But you can tell us how we can help you improve it.
Absolutely. And because we have external challenges, kind of like what you talked about, when we have things in the community that we need to direct resources toward. And we do the best that we can. There's always room for improvement, and that's where the community gets involved, because, like you said, we've talked about limited personnel. For us to be able to get information from the community members, because we can't be everywhere at once, but for us to get the information from the community members is vital to our ability to address those challenges. So that's why Neighborhood Watch, or just being out in the community, is so valuable to us. And that's why it's so important that we have that that partnership with the community. And then you have your internal challenges, which is more or less in the staffing areas and stuff like that.
Okay.
And
describe that for us a little bit.
Well, we could, and I think every chief in America would say we always could use more people.
Sure.
But it's really true. And our officers work very hard, especially during the summer months when we have all the events that we have to have presence at. Sometimes when you have limited staffings, right now we're authorized to have 13 top to bottom sworn officers. And to try to get people time off, the necessary mm-hmm. time off, to get them into training. Because we usually, the academy is located in Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. but we do trainings all over, So for us to be able to send people to training and not deplete our primary mission, which is providing public safety here in the beach, mm-hmm. it can be challenging, because we don't have the ability to take people off the street and not lose coverage, right? So it gets to be kind of a balancing act. And I can testify directly to that, because I was, prior to me becoming the interim, I was in charge of training and I was in charge of scheduling. And it's very difficult to be able to break somebody to go for a week class, because a lot of them are 40-hour classes, mm-hmm. And to break them for that and not lose coverage. Because we can't lose sight of what our primary mission here is. It's to provide public safety here in the beach. Mm-hmm. So that can be challenging.
And how do we overcome that, Chief?
If we could add personnel, then so be it. But I understand that the financial challenges that are associated with that. So we try to be creative in how we can get people time off or get have them be able to take a week-long class, or even a few-day class, when we kind of juggle around schedules. But usually when you take somebody out of a position, we have to fill it. One of the benefits that we have here is we have our officers understand that, and they are willing, more than willing, to adjust their schedules to allow one of their teammates go to training. So that's kind of how we get around that, but it's because our officers are willing to give up their time in order that someone else goes training, because they know that they're going to go next or somewhere down the line. So
is there a way that the community can be an asset multiplier in some ways?
I think one of the big helps for us is, one, providing information to us, because then we can target mm-hmm. problems, right, instead of just kind of trying to do what we can do during our patrol operations, where we're identifying a problem. It's that they can actually direct us. Hey, this is, we have a classic example. I met with one of our residents yesterday, and he was telling me about that he's noticed a lot of speeding on the street that he lives on. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about it, and I told him what I could do as far as directing resources to his area. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're going to do, among others, is we're going to take our traffic sign out and put it up. Now, that means people have to, recognize that they're maybe exceeding the speed limit and then slow down right. voluntarily. But we're also going to have directed patrols out there as we can, given calls for service. But that helps us, because at least now I know, okay, we've got a potential issue here. It's also a safety issue because just down the street from this gentleman's residence, there's a multifamily housing where the kids play basketball in the street, and we're trying to slow the traffic down because we know that we've got, you know, that we've got kids in mm-hmm. that area.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that are very helpful for us.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease to some degree, right?
Right.
And if you don't know there's a problem, there's not a problem.
Exactly.
If you happen to get the full-time police chief job.
Yes, sir.
Is this a stepping stone for you, or do you retire out of this job?
No, sir. This, I'm not going anywhere. As long as y'all have me, I'll be here. I, as a sworn officer, I've only worked at two departments. I am very cognizant of the fact that my old department and now this department, they've allowed me to have a roof over my head. They've allowed me to feed my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've had food on the table. I wouldn't have any of those things was it not for this department and this community. When I came here, if I may.
Oh, please.
So when I first came here, all I had was the stuff in my truck,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'd driven across country. And my wife and my younger boy was still in high school. So he finished high school out here, but he was still in high school back there. And so I was out here for a number of months by myself. Right? And I had, like I said, other than the stuff I had in my truck, I had nothing, and most of it was like police gear, you know? And the people here, I can't say enough about how much they helped me. I met some of them back at Ola's, when Ola's, and they were asking me, they said, do you have a place to live? So, well, I'm staying at the current chief's house in one of her spare bedrooms for now. Do you need a place to live? Yeah, I do. And they got me a house, they brought me some furniture. They took care of me like they'd known me all their lives, right? I can tell you that probably wouldn't happen where I come from. So to be accepted like that and be treated like that, like you're part of the family,
mm-hmm.
That meant a ton to me. Trust me, it meant a ton to me. I guess the bottom line is I want, and I mean everyone here, I know we're a diverse group, but we're here to serve every portion of this community. Not just one area, another area, or one set of residents or not. We're here for everybody. And we want to do the best that we can to provide the best police service that we can to this community to make this a great place to live, work, and play. We'll do whatever we can in order to fulfill that goal. And so I would like for people to know that I personally am open for contact if they have any issues they want to discuss with me. That's fine.
And I've seen evidence of that. So yes, I know that to be a true statement.
I appreciate that. Because like you said, I'm not going to. There's an old saying, well, at least one I've heard. I can catch a ball if you tell me you're going to throw it to me. I can catch it if I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know it's coming, I might get hit with that ball.
Mm-hmm.
So let me know what the problems are, you know. And like you said, and then we can direct our resources at that, hopefully to resolve that. Because one of the things that I would like, if everybody here can say, you know what, I'm happy living here. I feel safe living here. I know that the police department is there to support me. Knowing we have to do our job, but knowing that we're there to be a positive force in this community, and that they acted on that. What I mean is that they come and talk to us, or they talk to us in the street, or you know, just wave, and then I could sleep at night and go, you know what, we're doing our jobs. And we're making this a safer place for people. Because that's the bottom line. We're always going to have issues. I get it. But if we can all work together to minimize those problems, we're not looking to go out and make arrest after arrest after arrest. We're here. We want to solve problems.
Lift up as opposed to lock up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's our goal. And I would love to have anybody walking around this town any time of night and feel safe and feel like if I need somebody, if I need help, I can call the police and they'll be there for me. Because we will, right? And then I guess, not that it would stop there, but I think that that'd be a really good starting point. That Does that make sense?
It does. And Chief Parsons, I could spend the rest of the afternoon with you, but thank you for providing one of the most important conversations that personally I've had here in Colonial Beach. And I thank you for your service. I hope you get the full-time gig, brother.
I really appreciate that.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.